with our old friend and yet another out-of-work sportscaster under quarantine and ready to kill a little time with us. It's our old pal, Josh Lewin. Mr. Lewin.
Terminator, it is so good to hear your voice, and just hearing a D&M jingle actually was really nice, too. It's been a really long time. You guys are sounding great. I hope everybody's getting used to it, because I think this is a fantastic idea, and I'm glad it's going so well for you.
Thanks, bud.
Thanks, man.
I'm just noticing, I don't want to give your whole phone number away, but you retained your 817. You will not let go of your deep roots here, Josh.
No, my son's at UNT, and I get back when I can. I mean, I'm loving life out here in California. I would not trade it for anything. But you know, I spent 12 years in Dallas, guys, and I loved a lot of it. You know, it got a little weird at the end, but I loved a lot of it, and I'm where I'm supposed to be right now, and I'm happy except for coronavirus. How's that?
Hey, I definitely share that view with you. So. You have definitely seen the big leagues and through the course of time have been in a couple different situations since your time with the Rangers. You're with the Red Sox right now? Is that right?
Oh, it's so complicated, Bob.
Okay.
You left the Mets to come out here to San Diego.
Yes.
Really more of a lifestyle thing than a baseball thing. I mean, I was turning 50 and empty nester, got remarried, the whole thing. And this is where I've had my eye on for a long time. I mean, did the Chargers games for forever. And, you know, they, as I'm sure you might have read, left for L.A. That was kind of inconvenient. We had closed on a condo about, I think it was 12 days after we closed on the condo. They skated up to L.A. and basically said, you got to give up the Mets and everything else you're doing if you want to come north with us. And that was kind of a not a thing that was going to happen. So, you know, everything changes, right? You know, I mean, you want to make God laugh, you tell him your plans. And, you know, we had figured on Chargers / UCLA with a side of baseball and be happily ever after. Chargers went away. UCLA football and basketball has been a great gig. The thing I thought I was coming out here to do baseball-wise, without going on and on and on about it, it just never materialized. There was a promise of doing some stuff out here for the Padres. And some politics got weird, and it just didn't happen. And while they were trying to sort that out for me, the Red Sox turned out had a 55-game package last year. I just thought that was a perfect amount of games, you know, not 162 like the Mets. So I grabbed that package of the Red Sox last year. It's just kind of a little fill-in deal. And
okay.
So I become kind of the Edwin Jackson of broadcasters. I'm everywhere now.
You've been killing time, too, in, like, the most awesome way, I have to say. You know, we're all trying to figure out things to do and different ways to make ourselves smile. Maybe that's the most important part. You're not trying to make other people laugh. You're making yourself laugh, which is pretty cool in these times. And you've been doing these little bits and vignettes of calling everyday life, and I don't what when did that come into your head, and do you remember the first one that you did?
Yes, I walked across the street, because you're not allowed to really go anywhere out here in California now. I walked across to the CVS, and it was like a ghost town, and I was so thrilled to see I think it was like a Camry pulling out of the parking lot. I don't know what possessed me. I just decided I'd flip open, you know, the app and just record the play-by-play, because I haven't done any damn play-by-play in a long time. You know, UCLA was getting set to make this nice run into the tournament and all of that, and then it just got taken away. So I called it. I decided to put it on Twitter just kind of as a what the hell. And then I was going to say it went viral. I don't think you're supposed to say viral these days, but it hit a nerve. And so, yeah, all of a sudden people said, well, can you do one or two more? And I think I've done like 20 of them now. And to be honest, I'm getting a little ready to tap out. I've done like two or three a day for a while. And it's not that I'm running out of ideas. I just really want to sit and read a book and watch the sunset for a day or two. So I put them on a YouTube channel. I think there's literally about 20 of them now. I mean, it's everything from folding towels to nuking a taquito. But we're all just trying to stay busy. And Corby, like you said, you nailed it. I mean, it's just about trying to to laugh clown laugh right now, because what else can you do?
Want to hear an example?
I would love to hear an example.
Yes.
Here's Josh doing PBP of a pony ride.
A beautiful day for a pony ride. Who doesn't love a pony? Addie is riding, Paisley is walking, Cowboy the pony behaving very well. Not a single bray or whinny, no flatulence in the air. Just an open-air blue sky pony ride on a midday afternoon. Paisley appears now to be texting as she's leading her sister around in a circle. Cowboy, with a pause here. The pony is paused. Now he picks it up. We are all witnesses to pony riding history!
And if you're watching this video, there is very little happening.
Right, that's the beauty of it.
That's what's awesome. It's the excitement describing the mundane.
Right. It's calling the scoop of ice cream. You know, it's great.
You're not going to believe it.
So
it's something to do. That's really all it is. And people have been sending in videos, which is great. I mean, you know, I just put it out there once, made like a little entry portal for it. So, yeah, this grandma sent this thing in this morning of her grandkids riding on a pony. And then that became a bit.
Man, I love it. And I want to just congratulate you for all the years where you attempted to call whatever. I mean, at times mundane sports, but at other times great sports. But you were always trying to entertain on the side. I've always admired that about the way you saw sports as, look, let's not get carried away here. This is not the most serious thing that's ever happened.
Well, I appreciate that, Bob, and I know that style is not for everybody. I fully realize that, but you know, you got to be true to yourself. And you know, I always said, baseball wise, when it's 2-2 in the eighth inning, nobody wants to hear nonsense. But when it's a ten to one game, let's have some fun. And you know, you guys do that so beautifully too. I mean, you guys give us the sports, and you do it knowledgeably. And it's very well done, but I think we're all supposed to laugh a little bit on occasion, and that's the blessing you guys have been providing, even in this new jigsaw puzzle, this Bob and Corby. So thank you guys, and it's great to catch up with you.
And there was never you never had a problem, or it was never below your moral code to work in ticket shtick too. And my favorite one is when we made fun of Country Mike for mispronouncing or giving a Southern accent to Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
And when Josh worked in, and there's yeah. Greinke, old Greinke.
Old Greinke. I do remember that. But see, that's the thing. I mean, Dennis Miller was doing that crap, you know, years ago, back before he went bananas, where, you know, it only hits with like maybe 5% of the audience.
Right.
For the 5%, they just like, you know, they do a spit take. Like, wait a minute, what? You guys are so great to do that with, and I miss it. I miss doing Rangers. I miss a lot about the Dallas and Fort Worth, but, you know, nothing remains without change, as the Buddha supposedly said, so here we are.
My bad. To the great Josh Lewin here on the ticket with us as we catch up on old times and we see how you're holding up. In fact, let me just ask that. How are you holding up in terms of just this? To us, it's difficult to describe this in terms of what would you even compare it to, what we're all kind of dealing with. But on the other hand, it's so communal that it feels like the whole world is participating. So while it's a unique circumstance, it's not that unique. So it's there's a number of ways to look at this, aren't there?
Yeah, it's so bizarre, Bob. I mean, and it is going to hopefully all bring us as a society a little closer together, but we're all going to grieve here. You know, this stuff's about to get real. I mean, we've only started scratching at this, and you know, there's going to be some really unfortunate stuff coming down the pike here. It's going to touch all of us. But when we come out of this, you know, getting better as a community, maybe helping each other a little more and all that. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you think about right now. And just, you know, having other things to do. I mean, as I'm sure you guys have talked about, you know, normally when there's chaos, at least we turn to the pillar of sports, where we can kind of grab onto that pillar and just hold on for dear life. And, you know, somebody was saying to me the other day, I hadn't thought of it this way. It's like, what if music just all of a sudden didn't exist? You know, that's the other thing we use as kind of an escape and kind of an anxiety relief, right? I mean, what if there was just some rule that all of a sudden for the next several months, there's just no music in the world? And that's what it feels like with sports right now. So, you know, I'm lucky because I've been amusing myself with this other little side hustle, this throwback league podcast that I've been doing, which has been so much fun. It's like this March Madness bracket of World Series teams where I, you know, they print out the result of the games that are simulated. I go in and do pretend play-by-play with sound effects and everything. It's been a lot of fun. But, you know, I started it well before coronavirus, and now as it turns out, it's like the only game in town. You know, it's like the only sports going is this throwback league thing that I'm doing. So, you know, at least I've kind of thrown myself into that. I've got like a distraction, and it's fun. But, yeah, there's a lot of sportscasters out there and obviously a lot of people out there that are just, you know, just killing themselves trying to figure out what can I distract myself with because there's no sports.
You know, if you were going to pick a year to not have a baseball gig, this might be it. And things got really weird today because the owners and players agreed that they're not going to start the season until there are no bans on mass gatherings that would limit the ability to play in front of fans. They also said that they're not going to start until there are no travel restrictions throughout the U.S. and Canada. Man, are we going to have a season at all? And if we do, is it going to be like a 20-game season?
I think, Corby, what they're probably going to do, and this is just my guess, is that they're going to revisit that first thing you said. I think this is going to be, for a lot of sports, could be college football too, could be NFL, it's going to be a season in a bubble, potentially, where, you know, it's literally just people who have been able to pass protocol, that, you know, there's 100 people total in this building, whatever the number is going to be. Fans are not allowed back in yet. And I think that's possible. I think the TV money is too important. I think that when it comes right down to it, if you had to have, say, a 100-game season where the first 60 or 70 games are played in a quiet, domed arena, it kind of probably sound like a G League game out in Vegas or something like that, you know, for basketball. I just think that money speaks, you know, that there's just too much on the line. So, you know, I hope it's better than that. I hope there's, say, 140 games and fans can watch it and it's a little normal. But nothing's normal right now. So, you know, whatever happens, I'm in for it. But you're right. I mean, this is going to be a gigantic asterisk on this season no matter what you do.
Man, it's certainly territory that we're not quite sure where we're headed and where it's going to be. But I do like the throwback league idea, and I really like the fact that you started it before any of this hit. 48 weeks you had planned out, and so yeah, you don't sound like you're struggling to keep busy, my man.
No, you know what? I'm always my own best friend is what it comes down to. I can amuse myself, and then this is a great year to have that ability, I guess. But I think we're all kind of learning to use those muscles right now. You know, we can't lean on whether it's the Texas Rangers opening a new ballpark or, you know, getting ready for the Sweet 16, which I was really looking forward to this weekend originally. You know, we got to dig deep and find other things to do. So I think the more you can explore some creative space and have some fun. I had no idea that the throwback league concept would be necessary. You know, I just thought it'd be this weird little one-off thing to do. But, we're all looking for things to occupy our time now, and it's just where we've landed. And, you know, you guys, it's kind of like you. You know, you took this new assignment to couple with each other, and that was already going to be a challenge because it's new. Now, you got to get thrown together, and there's no sports, you know, so what are you supposed to do? You go ahead and you find other things to do and amuse yourselves with, and I'm sure you're doing it fine, but we've all been challenged, I think. Anybody in a creative space or a creative industry, we've had to dig real deep and figure out some other things.
Well, dude,
yeah,
it's
the good
been,
news is it gives us something to do.
Well, I know, and I think that's the key for us. You know, I think for our station in particular, we've been prepared for this for a long time, not expecting something like this, but just kind of the way we go about things. This isn't a wildly difficult transition. And for guys like you too, it's you can find things to amuse yourself pretty easily like we can.
Well, and the other thing, you guys, not to sell yourself short on the other, I mean, because I remember, kind of how you guys dealt with crises before. I was coming to Texas really right in the aftermath of 9/11 and heard a lot of air checks, you know, about how you guys handled that. And you kept the community glued, you know, I mean, so you can do the important stuff too. And this stuff that we're looking at right here, let's not kid ourselves, is really freaking important. But yeah, you know, you guys have been able to make everybody laugh for how many years has it been now? I've lost track, you know, 20, whatever it's been. You know, that's a strength for you guys. So yeah, you know, you've already been in that space as it is, but thank goodness you guys are good at what you do, because, you know, the DFW area needs it now more than ever.
Well, great catching up with you, man. We certainly might even run into you again before this is all said and done. And we certainly appreciate your time. Hope you continue to do great.
Well, back at you guys. Great to hear your voices. Like I say, just even the DNM jingle takes me home here. So I appreciate you very much. And I'll crank out a couple more of these nonsense videos at some point. I'm going to shut her down for the day, though, today.
Love it.
All right, dude. Thanks,
Josh.
See you, boys. Be well.
That's Josh Lewin.